This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening and welcome to The Informer. Dean Beck with you this evening. We'll take a look at an extraordinary series that delves into the unsolved murders throughout New South Wales and right across Australia, where gay hate crime sent people off cliffs throughout Sydney and New South Wales, and what happened in Adelaide in the murders that have never been explained there. We'll also look at why the Victorian AIDS Council is changing its constitution. On The Informer tonight, we look at one of the darkest aspects of Australia's most recent history. It coincides with the launch of SBS's cross-platform network event, Deep Water. In the 1980s and 90s, a wave of murders bloodied the idyllic coastline of Sydney's eastern suburbs. There were some 80 murders, 30 of them unsolved cases, and thousands of assaults. The victims, all young gay men. SBS's Deep Water brings these events of the past to life. It's a compelling new crime drama inspired by the events of these lives lost. And it's a feature-length documentary and it's an online, interactive and immersive social media experience. The Deepwater drama and documentary is a Blackfella Films production for SBS, with major production investment from Screen Australia and Screen New South Wales as a partner for the drama. It's the first time that Screen Australia has funded a drama and documentary on the same subject airing at the same time. Deep Water, the drama, is a fictional four-part series inspired by the events of the lives lost. It's set in contemporary Bondi and features a stellar cast of Australia's actors. It begins on SBS at 8:30 this evening.
Look at him, he's a natural, that young fella.
Like Shane. Right, I'm going to have to go, Dad.
Battered him to death.
Weapon.
A blunt object.
Just deliver the news. Try not to get emotionally involved.
I am dealing with the families of the dead, and they need to know the truth.
How old were you in 89?
Primary school.
Gangs of youths up and down the coast, hunting for prey. It was a sport back then, a blood sport.
Dempsey came from behind and smacked him over the head.
They swung him over the cliff and let go.
I shut my eyes. I was afraid to see.
God have mercy, you never find yourself in my place.
Everyone's a suspect, you know that.
This is just another one of your little stories. You're always telling stories about Shane.
Your brother, you think he was murdered.
I just can't get you out of my head.
Can't escape the past. Can't live with it.
Justice wasn't done back then.
Someone has to be held responsible for this.
Joining us on The Informer is Chris Wilde, one of the writers for Deep Water. Chris, this is an amazing production and an extraordinary thing to be a part of, no doubt.
Yeah, I think it's a great story that needed to be told, and good on Miranda and Darren for being inspired by events in the present to look into events in the past and bring them together.
The historical references, the more than 30 cases that are as yet not fully complete as to the deaths of the or disappearance of these people. How much research did you have to do to formulate the narrative for this production of Deep Water?
I always do a lot of research on anything that I'm working on or writing or producing, and first of all, I wanted to get back into the times, and I approached now Dr. Michael Kennedy, who teaches police and investigation at Western University, and he gave me a lot of background information, I guess, on policing in those times, and he put me in touch with ex-detective Steve Page, who actually was responsible for bringing to light, I guess, these past murders. He started doing a kind of cold case, I guess, into the murders at Bondi. He's since left the police force, but he's been in touch with families of the victims, and he is pursuing the truth and the coronial inquiry currently.
There was one particular case that Australian Story featured on a number of episodes, and that seemed to spark even further inquiry as to the conduct of police and how it had been dismissed. I remember on a 7:30 report there was an interview with a policewoman who basically dismissed any of the wrongdoings of the police force historically. And yet we seem to find more and more evidence that they were burying or just ignoring these incidences.
I think that that's true. I think that we should also take into account that society itself was at that point quite homophobic, and perhaps there was a kind of subtle endorsement of what was going on. It was the time of the Grim Reaper, and there was a lot of fear around about AIDS, and so I think that that led to a rather awful attitude on the part of society and in the police of fear. And fear, of course, brings about conflict. And one of the things that Dr. Kennedy said to me is there's always an issue in policing of what's considered to be a worthy victim. You know, does the victim get noise in the press and therefore in the political arena? Like, a child gets maximum, this is a child gets maximum amount of exposure, and so there's a lot of pressure. If it's a prostitute, or in these cases, the disappearance of gay men or strange deaths and of murders of gay men, there's less political pressure. And the other thing that also happened at that time was things weren't computerised, so different stations didn't talk to other stations, and things did disappear through the cracks. So I don't think it's a black and white situation. However, I do think there was an adverse attitude and a homophobic attitude within the police force at the time, and I didn't pursue these murders as they should have.
And there were repeated calls time and time again for further investigations, which were simply dismissed.
That's right, and all credit to ex-detective Steve Page for pursuing these investigations and bringing to light the crimes that happened at that time.
The idea to set the dramatic portrayal of Deepwater in the present day, what was the decision behind that? And then to, I guess, through inquiry, look back into the history of it?
Well, it's actually really interesting, and it's often how, I guess, TV dramas start. Miranda and Darren were caught in a traffic jam at Potts Point, and they were caught there for a long time, and the police had blockaded the road. And, of course, they wanted to find out what had caused the delay, and they found out that a gay man had been murdered, and they started to look in the press for any news of this death, and there was nothing. It was a silence. So they wondered, why is there a silence when this man has been murdered? And then they started to look into the bigger silences that had happened in the past. So it's a very, very personal introduction into the story. And that's actually why they wanted to explore this story between the two time frames.
For someone who was of that age and in my late teens, in those late 80s, early 90s, it is very challenging to bear witness to some of this stuff as it unfolds.
It really is. And a friend of mine who's actually recently died, but Sam DeBrito, who wrote for the Sydney Morning Herald, he was a fellow writer with me, but not on the show, he said his friends were a part of that atmosphere and part of the gangs, and that could have been part of the crime. And he felt very confronted by that. And
wow.
I've spoken to other friends who were writers at that time, and there was an atmosphere in Sydney, as horrible as this is to say, that, oh, you know, it's Saturday night, we'll let's go out and push a bash as a sport. And so one of the things that Steve Page was investigating was actually this atmosphere that was okay. There was actually a gang in Bondi, a very specific gang, and I'm not allowed to name anybody because of ongoing investigations, but that Steve suspects that the police have some evidence, but perhaps not enough, that he was the perpetrator behind many of these deaths. that man has actually gone on to murder other people since, so it's a shame that he wasn't stopped at that time.
We don't hear much from the voice of the perpetrator. We hear more of the voices of the victims' families and loved ones. Did you come across any people who, other than your departed friend Sam, that were in any way connected?
Nobody would want to admit to that. So, no, we didn't. I think in the documentary that's attached to the drama, they have actually unearthed people who were part of the gangs, but we were not able to do that. But I guess I did talk to people who were around at that time and who were part of that. They weren't part of it, actually. They didn't go out doing that, but they knew it was happening.
As Deepwater airs tonight on SBS, there is a whole heap of other material that's going alongside the airing of this drama, which is tonight and tomorrow night, and then next week as well, Wednesday and Thursday night. During the broadcast, audiences will be able to delve further into the investigation as it unfolds by experiencing an extended narrative on Twitter. And it's in partnership with Screen Australia and Twitter. These other resources will unfold on Twitter that go alongside the airing of the movie. This is a all-of-organisation event with SBS across multiple platforms. It's an exciting project. Yours was the drama series. Having such tremendous actors in it is got to be a great feather in the cap too for the series.
Absolutely. And to be honest, I'd always hope that Meryl Stone would play the part of Tori Lustigman. There's a secret quiet hope because as a writer you don't really have that much contribution to actually who ends up playing it, but that was my hope. So I was absolutely really thrilled when she accepted that role. And Noah Taylor is just exceptional. William McGuinness I just absolutely love as the old school cop, and I've worked with William a lot on different shows on EastWest 101 and Dangerous Remedy, which was shot in Melbourne, and I think he's a fabulous actor. So all of the actors, I mean, you couldn't want a better cast. They're just fantastic. I was blown away when I saw the calibre of the cast, and they all wanted to be part of the story because I think they all felt this was a story that needed to be told.
Well, I wondered about that. These are big names and a lot of them in the one movie. I was wondering whether it really was an issue of passion for them to be doing this.
It was. It was completely, like, every single actor involved felt really passionate about the story, and that's why they became involved. So I think they've all, you know, done a great job, and it shows, I guess, when there is a story that has to be told, how it unites people.
The character played by Craig McLaughlin is a different role for him too.
I know. good for him. Good for him. He plays, well, I won't spoil it for your listeners.
But it's a much darker role for Craig McLaughlin.
Yeah, and I really take my hat off to him for going there. I really do. And also to other actors who I won't name who also were not afraid to portray the darker characters. You know, I mean, everybody wants to play the hero, but actually playing those misguided, darker characters just with, I guess, strange things, good for them.
Do you think that there'll be further inquiry, or do you think that the combination of this alongside the documentary and the podcast series and the expose in South Australia, do you think that there will be a lot more done in this space to uncover some of these historical events?
Well, if Dr. Michael Kennedy, ex-police detective, is right, noise in the press equals political pressure, so I would expect yes.
Well, let's hope so for the families that have lost loved ones that have were so tragically murdered.
Oh, I think that the actual, you know, reading all of the stories of the people who were involved in the families who were involved, I mean, it's a great justice and suffering was caused to the gay community and also to their families. And so many fine young men were cut down in their prime or before they actually even really explored life. And just because of their own sexual expression, it seems grossly unfair.
It certainly
really
does.
I'm so happy that the story's been told.
Chris Wilde, it's an excellent production. Congratulations to you and the writing team. It's just brilliant. I'm sure we'll be very much in the awards when they come around, so congratulations.
Thanks so much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Chris. Chris Wilde is one of the writers on Deepwater, which airs over two big weeks, starting tonight, 8:30 on SBS. Following the drama series, Deepwater, The Real Story is a feature-length documentary. It will premiere on Sunday, October 16, and it's directed by Amanda Blue. This documentary features first-hand accounts of Sydney's gay hate killings in the 80s and the 90s. It unravels the stories of a society in the grips of homophobia as gangs stalked vulnerable victims on the coastline cliffs, brutal gay bashings were carried out, and lives were ended on the rocks below. Many of those involved at the time, including police, advisers, victims and families of those murdered, speak out on the crimes of the past in the hope that new evidence will rise to the surface in the pursuit of peace for the dead and justice for their loved ones. Coinciding with these two extraordinary television productions, Deepwater Online Investigations is an online interactive hub. The site will include special illustrated long-form features, a true crime podcast series, and the interactive site delving into 30 cold cases, allowing users to explore the unsolved murders both within Bondi and the wider Australia. And in addition to the drama series and the documentary series, a five-part investigation into the untold true stories of Adelaide's gay hate murders is told by award-winning Australian journalist Mark Whittaker on SBS's True Stories Season 3.
When I started digging through old unsolved murder cases and assaults around the country, one place kept popping up, Adelaide.
It is one of South Australia's most notorious unsolved murders.
Flipping poppers in the river, yeah, that's one name we gave it.
So I decided to focus on the City of Churches, a socially progressive city, where on one hand, South Australia was leading the way in gay law reform, becoming the first state to decriminalise homosexuality, but on the other, men were being viciously bashed in the shadows.
He didn't come home. The next morning they said a body had been found. Person had been bashed to death.
Homosexuality was outlawed.
So I went over there and they took one look at the photo and they said, yeah, that's John.
Homosexuals allegedly being killed by police.
We got told by the police that they would definitely go to jail. We've definitely got them. We've definitely got enough evidence on them. It's an open and shut case.
We were instructed by the senior police and everybody else that we knew nothing about nothing and couldn't help the inquiry and...
The judge rules in self-defence and these 19-year-olds walk. That's not justice.
SBS True Stories returns with this special five-part investigation. A look into the untold stories of Adelaide's gay hate murders. True Stories is a part of Deepwater, SBS's first cross-platform network event.
Mark Whittaker's long-form read will be published online following the completion of the five-part series. The SBS Deepwater Network cross-platform event is without doubt one of the greatest investments in our history. It reveals the hatred and homophobia that perpetuated through our most recent history and that still lives on to this very day. It's timely, it's poignant, it's powerful, and it's a must-see. Tonight, the Victorian AIDS Council has called a special general meeting to take a look at its constitution and that of the Gay Men's Health Centre. Chad Hughes joins us. He is the president of the Victorian AIDS Council. Chad, welcome.
Thanks, Dean. Good to be here.
Chad, why is this special general meeting being called?
There's three main reasons why we're calling the meeting tonight. It's really an opportunity for our members of both the Victorian AIDS Council and the Gay Men's Health Centre incorporated associations to consider some of the proposed amendments that we make. The board and our governance committee have been working on these areas for the last 12 months, so it's really a culmination of a long process and an exciting time to move forward with the organisation. The three main areas, one really is that it's about compliance with funding requirements. These obviously change over time, and as we get new contracts, we get new donors, and then we have to be responsive to the requirements of each funding agency that we get, whether that's state or Commonwealth government. Secondly, the VAC, as you'd understand, is registered as a charitable organisation, and this comes with deductible gift recipient status. So in order to keep that up to date, we've had to make some amendments to the Constitution to ensure that people who give us donations continue to be able to make those as tax deductions into the future. But primarily, the main thing that we're trying to do through this process is to review and change the objects of the Victorian AIDS Council. Now, the objects are, you know, the purpose of the organisation and why we exist.
Now, that some of that is around language, but some of that is also around purpose.
Yeah, so the objects, I mean, the organisation has been around now since the early to mid-1980s. The objects have not been reviewed for a very long time now. They were originally written in a very different time. So when the HIV epidemic was something that led predominantly to a death sentence and to AIDS, it was in the pre-HART or highly active antiretroviral therapy days. Now, things have changed with regards to HIV and how we manage that infection in our communities. So we need to really update in terms of what the organisation is here to do. So part of what we're doing is looking at the health of our communities in a more holistic manner. So we're really just catching up on things that we've already been doing, and tonight's a formality to sort of to put that into play in the Constitution.
Well, as a general rule, special general meetings aren't always smooth sailing. There's usually a few curly questions that the members will have. Are you expecting any hiccups along tonight's meeting?
No, we've had a Q&A session already where we've consulted members that were interested in coming along. So people have come and raised not really concerns, but just some ideas around language. Obviously, what we're trying to do is broaden the scope of the organisation to align with what we're already doing. The original objects focus just on gay and bisexual men as pertained to where the HIV epidemic lay at the time that they were written. We now have a far more nuanced and contemporary understanding of our community and of the health needs. So what we're doing here is expanding our objects to cover the programming we do with, you know, lesbian, bisexual, queer, trans and intersex communities. So that the programming we're also already doing in terms of the Equinox Trans and Gender Diverse Health Services, the Lesbian, Bisexual and Queer Women's Health Conference that we run each year, these integral parts of what we serve now in terms of our understanding of the broader community and the broader, more holistic health needs will just be aligned through the new wording. So I imagine the members will come tonight with some ideas. The whole idea of the evening is to take those on board, but we don't expect any issues in terms of passing the motions because we've gone through a consultation period already.
It's part of the evolution of our communities. Joy 94.9 itself has, in its latest licence renewal, changed the language to incorporate the broader communities, and it looks like VAC is doing the same.
Yeah, to me it seems like it's something we should have done a while ago, and we're just really playing catch up. But it's a good time to be doing it now, and to make sure that as we look to the future of the organisation, that as a key and leading health service provider for our communities, that we're really responsive to the diversity that exists within our communities, and not just focused on one facet or one particular subgroup of the broad community.
By broadening that base, it will enable you to access greater funding streams for the community as a whole, will it not?
That's true, and we already do that. So we already get funding outside of the spectrum of HIV in terms of mental health, alcohol and drug programming, which is a key part of our communities. We get funding to support trans health services and gender diverse health services and work with the lesbian and bisexual women. So we're already getting funding in those areas, and I believe that by expanding our constitution, we'll just continue to go from strength to strength in terms of providing a more holistic service to everybody.
Your annual general meeting is coming up soon too, I would imagine. What's the date for that?
So the annual general meeting is in the middle of November. It's going to be on the 20th of November. So we look forward I mean, that's a great opportunity for everyone to come together and to celebrate, you know, the successes that we've had in the last year, to award key people within our community who have made a real contribution to the organisation or to the health of the LGBTI community in Victoria. So we again encourage our members to come along tonight to the SGM and to participate in that process, but very much so to come to the AGM in the middle of November as well.
Chad Hughes, President of the Victorian AIDS Council, thank you so much for joining us on The Informer tonight.
Thank you, Dean. Good to have a chat.
Do check out tonight's airing of Deep Water. It is an extraordinary series. If you're 40 years or over, it is your story. And Deepwater is across four nights, the drama series, starting tonight at 8:30 and again tomorrow night. Next week, it will be followed by the documentary, and there's also the interactive online investigation as well, which I highly commend to you. Please check it out. Big thanks to writer Chris Wilde and also to Chad Hughes from the Victorian AIDS Council for joining me on The Informer tonight. Thank you very much for joining me on The Informer tonight. There'll be a podcast of tonight's show available for download from Joy's website, joy.org.au/The Informer. Please follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy, and you can follow me at Dean Beck on air. Till next time, keep well, take care, bye for now.
Representing, celebrating. Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.